I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. The Gospel of the Lord. I was first introduced to the fiery figure of the prophet Elijah many years ago when I visited the Carmelite monastery called Merrylake. Throughout the monastery were scattered various statues of saints, and I enjoyed trying to identify them because they didn't wear any name badges. You may have noticed that the statues and stained glass windows in our own church do not have any names for the saints. So it's kind of fun to try to guess their identity by the clothes that they wear, maybe a bishop's robes or an object in their hand like a book or a sword. I could easily surmise which statues were Carmelite holy heroes like Saint John of the Cross and Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint Therese of Lisieux, and even Edith Stein. But one figure baffled me because he carried a sword that looked like fire. At first, I guessed it might be Saint John the Baptist, but I was wrong. Later, when I spent 3 months with the Carmelites in Dallas, I saw this fiery figure again, but this time with an additional clue. Below his statue were the words in Latin, Celo celatus sum, pro domino Deo exercituum, which means, with zeal I have been zealous for the Lord God of hosts. That line comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10. And those prophetic words were uttered by the mighty ancient prophet Elijah. Elijah was the fellow with the fiery sword. I later learned that Elijah was the inspiration for the Carmelite order and their spiritual founder 800 years before the coming of Christ. The Carmelites are truly the first religious order. 1 Kings chapter 18 records the epic battle between Elijah, the last of the true prophets, and the false prophets of Baal, a pagan deity. The most dramatic moment of that spiritual showdown is definitely when Elijah slays the 450 prophets with his fiery sword, cutting off their heads. Don't mess with Elijah. But that was not the most decisive moment of the battle. The real climax of the story doesn't center on fire, but on water, specifically on rain. Elijah has commanded the clouds not to rain for 3 years. And after his duel on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, Elijah goes to pray for rain to descend from heaven again. We read that he went to the top of Carmel, crouched down to the earth, and put his head between his knees. And then he sends his servant 7 times. 7 is the symbolic number of the covenant with God, to see if his prayer for rain has been answered. Why is that prayer for rain so significant? Well, because the name Baal literally means cloud rider. Cloud rider. And it was Baal's particular power to command the rain. And that was challenged and vanquished by Yahweh, the true God, and his prophet. In fact, the name Elijah literally means, "Behold, Yahweh is my God." In other words, the point and the purpose and the passion of Elijah the prophet was to make clear to the people who is the true God and demand their loyalty and their love for him alone. That mission is likewise the point and the purpose and the passion of the entire Carmelite order. And that's why I wanted to join them. But we shouldn't casually peruse the story of Elijah as something that happened only 3,000 years ago. It happens every day. We too can turn to modern day Baals and worship them instead of the true God. We may not be tempted to trust in the power of the cloud rider, but we do easily turn to the false deities of money, sex, and power. And it is not too far a stretch to suggest that our last 3 popes have been modern day Elijahs, zealous for the Lord God of hosts, turning us back to the true God and away from false idols. Pope St. John Paul II left us the legacy of his monumental theology of the body, teaching us that sex is sacred and should lead us to God. It should not be worshipped as a god, like in pornography. Benedict XVI reformed the liturgy. He's the reason we started saying, "and with your spirit," and included the word consubstantial in the creed. He taught us that real power resides in the prayerful celebration of the sacraments, not in politics. And lastly, Pope Francis shows us how money can become a god as he embraces a life of prophetic poverty. Each pope embodies the name of Elijah, which means, "Behold, Yahweh is my God." John Paul, Benedict, and Francis, no less than the ancient Elijah, demand that the people turn away from false idols to worship the true and living God. Next time you visit a Carmelite monastery and try to identify the saintly statues and happen to see one curious fellow with a fiery sword, you'll know who he is. The next time you go to Rome and you get to see the Pope, you'll not only see the successor of St. Peter, but also the successor of Elijah. Praised be Jesus Christ.